Daniela. It's Ivy from the writing cast. I just wanted to say that I'm really enjoying your show and keep up the good work. Thanks.
Hey, what's up? This Sean Astad also. I just want to give a shout out to everyone who started out there. All right. Y'all have a nice day. All right, bye.
Believe it or not, this is my fourth take because I forgot to press record. Welcome to episode, I don't even remember, I lost track, I lost count of Stuttering is Cool. I am your non-stuttering host for some reason. I am a long life stutterer. It's just when I get sit in front of a microphone by myself, I stutter a lot less. So I do have street cred. It's coming up. It's coming up on today's episode. I am Daniela Rossi, and it's been a while since I recorded, but I hope that you have enjoyed yourself listening to the chats that I had uploaded for about a month, for a bit over a month. And well, so far I've received great feedback about them, so I would like to do more chats. Send me an email at coolstutter@gmail.com. If you would like to take part in a chat, I am very interested in hearing, in chatting with each and every one of you. So send in that email, and we'll do a Skype chat for a future show. And don't worry about things like, will I have anything interesting to say? Of course you do. Everybody does. Sometimes we just don't realize that we do. But trust me, you do. So I want to receive a lot of emails. I want to have a lot of bookings for chats. Now, this is an open mic podcast.
Hi, Daniel. Hope you're doing well. My name is Jonathan. I'm recording this audio comment from the wonderful Quebec City. And I told you this week by Twitter that I found your last podcast very interesting, that your conversation with Greg made me laugh. And I think that 140 characters is not enough to tell you how I appreciate your work for your online community, for stuttering people. I think that if there were more Daniel Rossi out there, our world will be better. And that's what I wanted to say. I'm not a stuttering person, and I think I never did. If I look like struggling with words, it's just that I'm not used to speaking English. Maybe I could say that I grew up with a stuttering uncle. And I went to school with two brothers, not my brothers, but two brothers that were stuttering. And they were very involved in the school activity, so everybody had to interact with them a lot. So I think I never saw stuttering as an abnormal condition, you know. Some people are fat, some people are thin, some people like have brown hair, some people have blonde hair, blue eyes, green eyes. So for me, stuttering was just a way to be, and there was nothing to say about it. It was something normal, and that's it. So continue your great job with your podcast and all you're doing for your online community, and I wish you good luck for the future.
Hi, how are you doing, Daniel? This is Alicia. I actually saw your website. I actually stutter as well. I dealt with it for most of my life. Still today, I have dealt with it at extremely bad, like in certain situations as far as like work and school is concerned. I'm actually currently interning at Fox in Chicago. Which is something I clearly never expected myself to be doing, being that it's such a position where talking is such a big part of the job. But I have overcome a lot. So I'm, you know, I actually just wanted to call and leave this voicemail to tell you and anyone else that may hear this message to not give up on any of your dreams, any of your aspirations, because you have this speech disorder and stuttering. Just keep your faith in God and continue to strive and be the best that you can be, which is something that I've done. I've always wanted to work in the field of journalism. So when this internship opportunity presented itself to me, for a while I was a bit hesitant to take it, thinking, oh man, what if I stutter, or what if I don't perform up to par because of this? But I actually just graduated from college last June. Coincidentally, I actually received a degree in communications, which was odd, being that that's something that's always been an issue with me in communicating. I've just improved a lot over the years with my stuttering, as you can tell just by this recording. I've only stammered just a few times on it. So I've learned to kind of, I don't want to say get it under control, but I've learned that I find that I stammer more most often when I'm afraid or fearful of stammering. Prime example is like right now, I knew that I was leaving a voicemail for other people who stammer. So I didn't have that inhibition and that fear that I would probably would come and be on my thoughts, you know, had I been leaving this message for people who don't. So I find that stuttering, I think, is most prevalent when you have fear. You know, I actually once read where a former stutterer, but she was a woman who's now like a speech pathologist, where she once said, where there is no fear of stuttering, there is no stuttering. And that's always stuck in my thoughts that, you know, I found that most often when I had that fear, oh my God, what if I stutter, or what if people laugh? What if, you know, I find that that's most of the time when it happens. So I just want to leave this voicemail to you guys. If you want to call me back, I'll leave my message on here. I'll leave my phone number rather on here. Feel free to call me back. Again, my name is Alicia. I'm from Chicago. And my phone number is... And I just want all of you guys to know, just keep your heads up. Don't let anyone discourage you from, you know, dreams and the goals and aspirations that you might have for your life because of this speech disorder. You know, despite what this world may tell you, you know, you can do anything, you know, that you set your heart and your mind to through God. So don't ever let anyone tell you otherwise. So thank you guys for listening, and God bless you all. Take care. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
You've mentioned a couple of things that caught my attention. The first was never expected to see yourself doing. Well, in this episode, there is something that I totally never expected to see myself do, and that was give a presentation at anything. But I will get more into that later. The second thing you mentioned was where there's no fear of stuttering, there is no stuttering. I can totally and completely attest to that. Where there is no fear, when there's no fear, you do stutter less. Now, you don't stop stuttering, but there's no fear about it. And that is a great feeling. And that is why I've been taking every opportunity lately to disclose my stutter as early as possible in a conversation with somebody new, because it puts both of us at ease. They know it's okay and that stuttering isn't bad, and I know that they're not thinking negative thoughts about me. Now, I cut out your phone number because I wasn't too sure if that was a good idea to plaster your phone number in a podcast. It is a worldwide audience. Last thing you need is a collect call, right? Okay, on to PodCamp. PodCamp Toronto, for anyone who won't know, is a podcasting convention, a very informal one. And last year I took part in a very small, low-key panel, which is something I never thought that I would do. I mean, the first time I went to PodCamp in February 2007, There was no way I would ever have imagined that I would get up in front of a group of people and talk actually throughout my life. And this year I did a panel where all eyes would be on me. And when I say all eyes, there were a lot of eyes. Actually, all four. Were we four people? We were five people in the panel. And we were the topic was podcasting tools. Now, in the show notes, again, I will have a link to the video. So it was recorded. And I use that as an advantage because a lot of stutterers, they videotape themselves. And I never did because I'm very, very nervous to see what I look like. So I knew that this would be very beneficial. So it's on video and I stuck it up and I watched it. And you know, it wasn't too bad. And I also used the opportunity of the panel to disclose my stutter and to not avoid stuttering, not substitute words, and just stutter through. And this is in front of a group. I've never done that before. And you'll hear, you know, here, I'll play a clip and then I will explain.
That's very hard to follow up to. I am not on the radio. My podcast, my name is Daniela Rossi, and as you can see, I stutter, which is what my podcast is about, and it's stutteringiscool.com. I'm very nervous right now because I've never done this before. So I also tend to speak low, so just do this throughout so I can, because I'm not used to speaking very loud, because everybody brings their attention to me and that's like, ugh. I've been podcasting for about a year, enjoying it, all of the various benefits and all of the technical meltdowns that come with it, which is why my hair is turning gray and it's all falling out. So,
really?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh. Okay. Continue.
Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Oh no! Now I have to follow that.
I know.
Hi, John. Yeah.
So you hear how I stuttered on my name. Now, the first time I stuttered it, you know that fight or flight instinct? Well, the flight instinct took over and I immediately decided just to say Dan. But then I said, no, I'm doing this. I'm going to stutter through it. I can do it and there's nothing wrong with stuttering and I'm cool and it's awesome. And I just continued on, stuttered my name, and the sky didn't fall on my head. I noticed nobody flinched. Nobody made a face. And continued on. I stuttered. And because I had disclosed it, everything went so much better. I mean, if I didn't disclose it, things would have gone wrong. And I would have, and to this day, I'd be really like in a fetal position going, oh my gosh, there's video, you know? And I'm proud of it. I love the fact that there's a video of me on the internet disclosing my stutter and going through with it and looking confident. I, you know, did not flinch or, I mean, there were times that I looked away and I do wish that I didn't touch my nose so many times. I never realized that. I never noticed that until I saw the video. So I think it's safe to say that that's a secondary. I'm not too sure, but whatever it is, whether it is or it's not, I should stop it because it was irritating me. So there we go. Another reason to videotape yourself, you know, and to call in so you can hear yourself online and hear other people stutter. That's the whole point of today's show. Now, I've also interviewed a number of people at PodCamp to hear their thoughts about stuttering or their questions.
My name is Victoria Fenner, and my company is soundoutmedia.com is the website, soundoutmedia.com. And I do production, multimedia production specifically for the internet. And that's not just, I just stuttered there.
All right. <Yeah.
laughs> That's not just about producing the content, but it's also about using the tools of social media to get it out there to maximum people on the internet. So my stuttering comment is, I have a very good friend who stutters. He's actually in the media production business, too, as a camera person. And someone remarked to me once, he said, you know, Michael stutters in social situations when he's feeling nervous, but you put him in front of a room and he knows exactly what he wants to say. He does not stutter a bit. So I think that that's my stuttering story, is that if you're confident, then it doesn't come through.
I'm going to have to think about that because I didn't sleep well last night. If you're confident, it doesn't come through.
Maybe not. I'm not a stutterer, too. I have little, you know, sort of verbal tics like everybody does. So I don't know if that's really, really true in all cases, but in his case, that is true.
That he was confident,
yes,
and therefore he didn't stutter. No, it's really the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
That has nothing to do with stuttering.
Oh.
Or, no, that has nothing to do with the cause of stuttering.
Oh.
It can't, like, in terms of nervousness, you can stutter more. Because stuttering is more of a, like, it happens in your brain type of thing, not a...
Oh, it's
like,
it's a biochemical kind of thing? It's not a social behavioral thing?
No, no.
Okay.
So that's why he was for example, James Earl Jones, he stutters, but never on stage. It's very strange. You'd think he would. Some stutterers, they don't stutter when they sing. Or when they speak in unison with a group of people. So it's very strange, yeah, that... Or rather, it's like, it seems strange, but it makes every sense that, yeah, your friend, yeah, everyday conversation, stuttering, gets in front of to a speech, yeah, he doesn't stutter. For me, that's not the case. Yesterday when I had my panel there, I just stuttered all the way. The stage had nothing to do with it.
Well, I guess that goes to show that people who don't stutter maybe don't know an awful lot about it. And I know that sometimes, like, I guess my verbal equivalent of sort of just kind of stuttering would be, like, all of a sudden having a thought and being focused, and all of a sudden start to lose it, and it starts
exactly.
to filter out. And, yeah, and so that would be my version of stuttering, and I have to remind myself, okay, you're getting way off track, you've lost your train of thought. So for me, it's about pulling back to what my train of thought was and refocusing. Mm. I think that's what it is when I lose focus.
Maybe that's why there's that thinking where, because non-stutterers, they would, a stutter or they'll fumble through their words when they're nervous. Therefore, maybe it's the same for stutterers. No, maybe be that. That's where that comes from.
Yeah. So it's like I've never really thought of that, because other than my one friend, I've never really known anyone who does, you know, have that issue. But I do know that when he was a child, it caused him. You know, it was like it was very, very hard. He became. I think that's one of the reasons why he reads so much and spends really. Enjoys time alone and on computer and everything, is because he doesn't really have to deal with the stuttering because he's not in social situations.
And then that's where you start thinking, oh, it's a psychological thing, it's a social thing.
Right.
And that's where it becomes more like, because of stuttering, this could happen. Because of that. So it's not that causes stuttering, it's the other way around.
So I think what I've learned from talking to you is it's very complicated.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It's a complicated life.
You're not a stutterer.
Yes,
you are? I can't tell.
Sometimes.
No, I
tried to say hello a couple
hello,
of times
Glenn.
Since last year.
Yes, yeah, so nice
hi,
to see
how
you
are
again.
You?
Yeah,
nice to see you.
How's everything
Dan.
Going?
I'm doing very well. Glenn McKnight, the Foundation for Building Sustainable Communities.
Oh, nice.
It's www.fbsc.org.
Oh,
and
nice.
We're based in Oshawa, Ontario.
Okay.
Stuttering. That's interesting, because I really had a horrible stuttering problem when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah, okay. Believe it or not, and I was dyslexic. So it's kind of interesting, and I'm not sure how I overcame it, but it was a serious problem. In fact, if I get tired, certain words will be quite serious, that there will be some limitations. But, you know, you start to learn processes. I guess it's a bit of biofeedback that you get, you start to control, you know, how you speak or whatever. But I didn't have any kind of coaching. But I did, I recall, I had a couple of seizures when I was a kid. I think there is some relationship there as well.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not sure. I'm not a doctor.
I've never really studied into it. So.
But I find it's interesting because I listen to my speech pattern of my nephews, and they really do have horrendous speech patterns. It's not metered speech and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But the way I speak now, I know it was deliberate. and the pauses and enunciations.
Oh, okay.
It's after basically getting a control of it. But it was not a I'm not speaking in a natural format. It was controlled.
Yeah, yeah.
My name is Luke Pomorski. I have a website called Cello Journey. It's a video podcast of me playing cello. And when it comes to stuttering, I've met some people that I wasn't sure if they were just fumbling their lines or if they were actually had actual stuttering. So that would be my question. What's the difference between someone who just regularly loses their train of thought and repeats a word a few times and someone who actually stutters?
Hmm. That's funny. I just had a recording of that too. So I'll just, yeah, you know, it's okay to repeat it. Stuttering is, it's in the brain. Like, I don't know much about the science behind it. And because of that, you're always stuttering. There's that social punishment that you go on. So when, you know, you are stuttering, either you have a severe stutter or, you know, a moderate stutter, it's still something strange to the listener who has never met a stutterer before. They think this person's weird, or they come up with their own theories, like they have no self-esteem or no self-confidence, etc. The regular person, you know, the non-stutterer that sometimes stumble their lines, there is none of that social stigma or social punishment that goes with it. None of that fear of talking or, you know, the social phobias that can erupt from it. The social phobias don't cause the stuttering. It's what the stuttering can lead to, because, you know, you're afraid of looking like a strange person, or, you know, you're too scared to talk in class, or, you know, things like that.
Also, I had another question. How is stuttering when it comes to singing? Is it similar, or is there
a
difference?
Well, most stutterers, actually, I don't have the authority to say most, but I keep reading, so I guess I do. Most stutterers, they don't stutter when they sing. In fact, John Meadows, you know John Meadows? He sings in a choir, and I remember him telling me once that somebody in his choir stutters, but he doesn't stutter when he sings. That is one of those phenomena where, yeah, some stutterers, they don't stutter when they sing. They don't stutter when they're talking in unison, in a group. I don't know why. It's one of those, like, stuttering is a very mysterious phenomenon that Stein still doesn't quite know what's causing it.
Mm-hmm.
And hence the whole social phobia, the whole social punishment thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks.
Very interesting. Thank you.
I'm Catherine from totallyfilmme.com, okay?
Okay, thank you.
No,
I forced her to say that.
No, but at one point I want to talk to you because I'm going to do a thing from a new podcast where I'm going to watch Bollywood superstar Shah Rukh Khan's films from the beginning. And one of the complaints people have about him, particularly in his early films, was that he had this kind of stuttering, bumbling persona that would come out, you know, when he was very emotional. And it was like, he's an actor, so he acted it.
His character
he
played,
yeah.
Or just him and as an actor? That's what he, like, he
stuttered.
No.
It was a character. It was kind of an acting tic, which is why people get upset with it.
Oh, okay.
So I wanted to get your perspective at some point about, I actually think it's kind of an interesting way to show emotion, that it comes out in this almost very fragile way.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people think, well, it's just he's putting on and it's just tics. And so at some point I'd like maybe to show you a clip and get your perspective, what you think about it.
Yeah. Okay.
So we can get that. You know.
Sure. Okay. Well, I could easily comment for now without seeing it. I'm not sure if that's fair.
No, it sounds a lot like...
See, it's easy to think that it's that stereotype. Hold on, I have to.
From my perspective, I stutter a little bit when I get really nervous in certain situations. And I can learn to control it up to a point, but at some point, it comes out. And for me, I connect with that because I see it as a stress situation that's familiar for me.
Okay,
and I feel really comfortable. I feel really, really comfortable to know I'm not alone, that that there are characters out there that this comes out in them when they get very emotional.
That's what happened to me too. So emotions can make stuttering severe. It's not emotions cause the stuttering. So it's things like, so if I'm like really angry, like for example, right now, that whole thing with that, like I'd be like that would be me stuttering very severely because, and it's something like, as far as I know, science still doesn't understand how or why. It just happened. Like you just get all riled up and.
For me, it feels like with the nerves, my wires get crossed. Because happens for me is I get, you know, I do the blocking where I can't get the word out.
Oh, okay.
And when I'm really stressed, it's like P's and M's and
so
the
is
typical
that what the actor is doing? So he's not playing a stutter. Like
he's not playing a stutter.
Or making fun of a stutter.
He's not making fun of a
stutter. Which is usually what Hollywood does.
Hollywood. He's not making fun, but he's using the stutter as an acting technique. In that moment, to show you the emotion.
Which is what people usually do, I guess. So it sounds like he's just playing a part, a role.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay. So that concludes
today's show. Again, stutteringiscool.com has all the information about today's show and how you can participate. By sending in your audio. There's three different ways, and it would be great. It would be fantastic to hear from my fellow stutterers. And don't worry if you're very severe. Don't worry if you're very mild. Don't worry if you don't even stutter at all. Stutteringiscool.com. Ciao.